And joining us today on Perspectives is Lucy Sana. And Lucy has published poetry, short stories, and nonfiction books, which have been translated into a number of languages. She was born and raised in Wisconsin. Sana now divides her time between Madison, Wisconsin, and San Francisco. And this is her first novel, and it's an incredible piece of work, The Cherry Harvest by Lucy Sana. Lucy, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Well, thanks for having me, Louis.
Now, before we talk about the book, and the Cherry Harvest is actually takes place during World War II, and there was a lot of tension, a lot of problems going on, not just in the world, but in the United States as well. Lucy paints a beautiful picture of what families were going through back then, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But Lucy, I mentioned this is your first novel and that you've done other literary works. So tell us a little bit about what got you interested in writing. Have you always been a writer? Did you write stories when you were a little girl?
I did. From the time I was 8 years old, I knew I wanted to be a writer. I loved stories. I wanted to write stories. When I thought of writing, I thought of writing stories. I didn't think about nonfiction, which I did a lot of mainly later. But, yeah, I've written, as you said, poetry and some short stories. I wrote a book of poetry when I was in seventh grade. I was writing stories about things that that just interested me, kind of space things. And most of my writing in stories, though, is about relationships, as in this book.
Now, when you talked about, you know, writing stories about space and other things like that, some of the other authors we've talked to, and especially the guys, they talk about the fact that, you know, they wrote scary stories about monsters and all that. So were you exposed to all of that, too, as growing up on television and the creature features, all that?
Yes, it was mainly television. Things like The Twilight Zone, I loved the reruns. And it sort of... writing for me is an escape, and the further you go, the more of an escape it is. So that's what I would do.
So this book that you mentioned, I guess you could say, and maybe perhaps that you're in the Twilight Zone, because it's hard to believe that all this is happening. And as I mentioned, it takes place during the World War II era, and we're introduced to the Christensen family, and they have to put up with the struggling of food rations and the cherry harvest, and they bring in the prisoners of war who are German, and they there's a controversy there as far as to how they're going to be housed, etc. And I'll turn it over to you, Lucy, so that you can introduce us, first of all, to the Christensen family.
Okay, well... Thomas Christensen inherited the farm, even though he didn't want it. His parents died, and he had to go back to the orchard. He had to leave school and go back to the orchard. And he's an intellectual. He sort of lives in the air. And he had to give up his love down in Madison, Wisconsin, and he married a farm girl who loves the land, who's passionate about the orchard. So that right there brings in a conflict. And then she has a son who's overseas fighting the Germans in Europe, and there's another conflict there. And then I gave her a daughter, 17-year-old, very attractive young lady who lives there at the house, and she goes to the county to ask for the prisoners to be released to come and pick cherries because they've gone a year without a harvest, and she's desperate. So the county's against this. The business people are against it. They don't see the desperation that the farmers see, but they do let her have the prisoners, and she houses them. She and her husband house them on the orchard, right there in the orchard in the migrant camp. So they're right there next to the house, and they become, you know, sort of intimate in different ways, and that, you know, there's a lot of conflict in that as well.
And you bring us and you introduce us rather to a lot of different situations because of the different characters. But, you know, somehow people may wonder, what the heck? There's a lot of characters there, but somehow they all tie in together. And at the end, you're going to be very surprised. But this, first of all, with Thomas, as you mentioned, he's an educated man. And it's interesting. I like the fact that whenever he addresses his wife, he'll open up with a poem.
Right. He's very poetic. That's right. It's and she, you know, she just doesn't get it. I mean, she comes back to him with nursery rhymes at the beginning, and then later on, she just, you know, rolls her eyes. It's not her thing. She's of the earth. He's of the air.
We're visiting with Lucy Sana, and she is the author of the book The Cherry Harvest. Now, Lucy, one of the interesting things that I found it right away, as soon as you start reading this book, you're going like, what? Wait a minute. Let me read this right again. And that is when they're, first of all, as I mentioned, they're strapped because of the rations, the World War. And you're wondering, well, what about, you know, they're so, they should be rich with this big cherry orchard. However, because of the rationing, we first encounter that, and you feel that when Charlotte goes out and gets dinner.
Yeah, she goes out to the barn and kills one of her daughter's rabbits for dinner because there's nothing else to eat.
And I'm not sure if you want to give it away or not, but there's a big surprise too when she butchers the rabbit for dinner, because not only is this one of her daughter's prized rabbits, but it's also, you know, something else that Kate was waiting for, and she also, I guess, used that money for a college fund, correct?
That's right. She was raising rabbits to save money to go to school. She's a senior in high school, and she wants to go to the university, and she's saving money for that. And that's what the rabbits are to her. They're her piggy bank.
Now, the rabbit and other things, she makes it, Charlotte, rather, the housewife and the mom, stretches this because they have meals over, you know, several days, the same thing, but leftovers, different leftovers. And, you know, and we're used to having leftovers at home, and moms always come up with an incredible combination of things and like, wow, this is great, Mom. And, well, this is what you had yesterday that you didn't like.
And, you weren't as hungry yesterday.
Yes. And Thomas is always praising her, saying, you're incredible, Charlotte. How do you do this? Mm-hmm. But somehow, at least I got the notion that Charlotte really, she loves Thomas, but she really isn't happy.
That's right. That's one of the conflicts. And that's one of the reasons why she is open to another relationship. And I don't really want to say much more about that, but things happen.
And Thomas and Kate, father and daughter, they have a very special relationship.
Yes. Yes, and so did Charlotte and her son before he went off to war. But yes, Thomas, Charlotte, Kate, the daughter, is very much like her father. They're both intellectuals. Neither one of them cares that much for the farm. The son, Ben, is very much like the mother. He's the farmer. He's going to inherit the farm. So that's the difference in them too.
And one of the big treats for Kate is when her and her daddy get to go to the big city on a train and spend the night there, and also just enjoy a play and other things there. And not only does it bond them, but Kate finds out some different things about her dad, and she also, you know, finds out that that's where she wants to go.
That's right. She doesn't know it at the time that her father had this other relationship. She's only 13 when she goes there, but the reader gets it. And yes, she wants to follow him, and she wants to be like the woman he introduces her to down in Madison, who's a professor at the university.
And in the book, we're visiting with Lucy Sana. The novel is The Cherry Harvest. You mentioned earlier that you use writing as an escape, and the characters in this novel are looking for ways of escape in more ways than one.
That's right.
And one of the things that Kate finds out is her escape is when she goes and visits Josie, and when she goes out to the lighthouse, she really enjoys being out there.
Right. One of the things I did when I went up to visit Door County was climb to the top of that lighthouse. 106 steps.
Wow.
Circular. Up. Oh, it's great.
Did you get to get some of the treats when you got to the top that Kate and Josie shared?
No, but I, you know, you look around, you really see, the world from up there. It's different.
So tell us, people, the readers may be wondering, okay, you're talking about World War II era. The people are struggling. They have rationing. Yet the lighthouse keeper has a bunch of treats. And when Charlotte goes over to visit, she finds that this lady just has everything, and, you know, she makes a big trade.
That's right. She goes over to trade something really special Actually, she's not planning on trading that, but she does in the end. The difference is, I mean, the farmers had a different kind of life from the business people and from the military people. They had to rely on the land, and if there was no one to pick the fruit, no one to harvest things, then they didn't have any profit that year. But with the lighthouse keeper at the time worked for the Coast Guard, and he had a nice salary, and the lighthouse is on an island, and so the Coast Guard came with supplies, and this is true, came with supplies every so often. I don't know how often, maybe once a week or so. They could have just about anything they wanted. They would order things, and it would be brought in. Even the water had to be brought in because the well water there was bad on the lake. So she had all sorts of treats, and Charlotte didn't have the flour, the sugar, or the coffee, and this woman had everything. And they also brought books that Kate loved to go over there and get the books. So it's a lot of different kinds of lives that were really lived really close together, and that's another reason why some people said, no, you can't put the, we don't want prisoners out on the land, because it didn't matter to them. They didn't have the problem, but she has that problem.
And we haven't really touched that much on the aspect of the prisoners, but as you mentioned, the farmer needs someone to harvest that land so that they can make their money. And so they have, an equivalent of what we would call a town hall meeting, and this is when Charlotte and Thomas speak out. Tell us about that.
Okay, well, I'm going to back up a little bit and tell you where the prisoners come from, because a lot of people are so shocked, and I was too, that there were prisoners of war here. As a matter of fact, there were 25 prison camps in Texas alone. There were 39 in Wisconsin. Wisconsin held about 40,000 prisoners by the end of the war. What happened was that when the U.S. entered the war in 1941, England had captured thousands of Germans, and they were housed in England. And the rumor was that Hitler was going to airdrop weapons into the camps to preclude attack from the outside. And so the British said to the U.S., would you take these off our hands? And there was really no place to house them there. Europe wasn't safe for housing them, and the U.S., you know, certainly didn't want to pay for the supplies to go over there to feed them and the guards and everything. So what they did was they sent them back on empty Liberty ships. These were the supply ships that were used to supply the men during the war. And they came back here. And they were housed initially in military camps. They were housed away from the populace. People didn't know about it. The army didn't want the people to know about it for a number of reasons, one of them being that they might attack them, and another one being that, you know, with the Germans anyway, they might come and try to find their relatives. But, I mean, in Wisconsin, at the time, a third of the population was German. So, but when it came to pass that there weren't people to harvest the crops, there weren't people to work in the canneries, there weren't people to work in certain factories, not military factories, they weren't allowed in military factories, but there weren't people to work in certain factories. You hear about women going to work. They needed more. And so the army realized that these guys could pay their keep by going out, by putting them to work. So they separated them. They only sent out the ones they thought were safe. They only sent the Germans. They did not send the Italians, the Japanese, or the Russians. They only sent the Germans. For some reason, I think it was very racist, but for some reason they thought those would be the safe ones. And so those were the people who were sent out. And they were kids. You know, they were sent to the front. They were kids who were conscripted into the war for the most part. And they looked, you know, like everybody else's kids, and they became friends with the people on the farms. And as a matter of fact, before the army could round them all up to send them back, a number of the farmers hid them so they wouldn't have to go back. A number of them married women here in the U.S. and have relatives here still in the U.S. So that part is something that most people don't know. The army didn't want them to know. The people they met were people who needed them, who really weren't journalists. They told the media not to say anything, so the media complied. And at the end of the war, when they sent them back, they destroyed the records. So the only way to find out, I mean, the truth about what happened was to talk to people, and that's talk to people who were there. And that's what I did to research the book. That's the only words I could trust were from the people themselves. And, you know, it's a very small and diminishing group of people. They're in their, you know, mostly 80s, 90s, but one of the ones, for example, was a 14-year-old boy who lived on a cherry orchard in Door County when the POWs were there, and he's got some good stories. So I learned a lot from just going up there and nosing around, and I'm never afraid to ask anybody for anything. So we talked to a lot of people.
We're visiting with Lucy Sana, and Lucy is the author of the novel The Cherry Harvest. It takes place in Wisconsin, and it's a World War II era novel. And as I mentioned earlier, it has a lot of characters with a lot of different twists and turns that you're going to enjoy very much. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the son in a bit who's in the Army. But I want to ask you, Lucy, what got you interested in this topic? How did you go about writing this?
Well, as I said, I was very surprised when I heard that there were POWs who had picked cherries in Door County. That intrigued me, and immediately I saw conflict. And any good story has conflict. And then I, as you said, the characters are all very different. Every one of them changes throughout the book, and every one of them learns something about themselves. And how did I come about the characters are all came out of my head, even though the POWs really did pick cherries there. So I just kept looking for more ways to make conflict. That's why I gave her the son who's in Europe and the daughter who's they sort of came together. Some of the stories came sooner. Charlotte and Ben, that story came immediately. She's going to bring German POWs onto the land. Her son's going to be fighting them over in Europe. That was the main story. And then I had to come up, then I wanted the daughter, so that there would be someone attractive there for the POWs. And her story came a little bit more slowly to me. I was staying in Door County right where this is set on Lake Michigan. My daughter and I were staying there, and we took a walk up the sand, up the beach, and came upon this house that used to belong to actually the governor of Wisconsin, and I made that the house that the senator lives in, the warmongering senator, and then Kate had a story. That's how I got Kate's story. And then I had, as you know, in reading the book, I had to get it up to the house. So that was her story. Thomas's is much more subdued. His came more slowly to me. He's sort of in the background, and he seems kind of weak at the beginning, but he gets stronger and stronger as the book goes on.
And what about, let's talk, I guess, about the female characters. First of all, you mentioned Charlotte at the beginning, and Kate. And one of the things that surprised me, I'm not sure why, but the fact that both ladies were very big in stature. They're very tall.
Yes. Well, they're Norwegian. They're tall and slim and blonde, and there are a lot of Swedes and Norwegians up in that area. So I guess I was basing them on some people I met when I was in Iceland.
Okay.
I don't know why, but that's what I had in mind. But, you know, they're actually, the mother is about the same height as my daughter. I think I made her 5'10". That's what my daughter is. So it's not that unusual. And Thomas is tall, too. He's about 6'1".
And I guess the other one is Josie, who is Ben's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The way you describe her in the book, I guess she's a looker.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. She's the bubbly booksome one.
We are visiting with Lucy Sana. Lucy is the author of the novel The Cherry Harvest, and The Cherry Harvest is a World War II era novel, and it involves different characters, as we've been discussing just about every one of them. But it has different twists and turns, and just when you think it's going to go one way, it goes the other way, and that's a sign of a good writer. And the narrative you use is very good because you keep it flowing, even though, and you know, this is one of the things, I guess, that I've discussed with other authors in the past and myself as a writer, journalist writer, the fact that when it's finished and there shouldn't be any more. So some of your chapters are as short as one page.
That's right. That's right. It's just telling a story. And I want the reader to go, oh, and then turn the page.
And the book itself, it's very pretty, very nice cover. And I like the fact that, you know, people will look at books and I still, even though I have a Kindle, I like to read books. I like to hold them in my hand. But every chapter you see, I guess, a cherry blossom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that opens up a whole new world. And then you give us a taste for cherries. You want to be out there and smelling everything that they smell. And this is something that Kate, she knows her dad does it. That's his job. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she, like her dad, wants to do something else. And she doesn't really see an escape unless she can figure something out. And I'm not going to say anything about what happens, but she does. You do put her in a situation where she ends up meeting different people and different folks and a very different lifestyle from what she is doing.
That's right. That's right. As I said before, there people on the farm live differently from some of the other people in different situations. And she runs into the son of the senator and really, really sees herself in a different light and learns a lot about herself, I think, through that, through those encounters.
We're visiting with Lucy Sana. Lucy is the author of the novel The Cherry Harvest, and this is a novel that's a World War II era novel that takes place in Wisconsin, and as the title implies, it's about a cherry harvest and a cherry farm, and this orchard that Thomas had is huge.
It's about 100 acres, right? And that's not unusual up there.
And I think when you're describing what he plants, how many cherries come in and all that stuff, people are going, wow, that is a lot. And part of Charlotte's job, and I guess it's because of the situation with the war, was that she would go in and try and barter and trade for household goods, correct?
That's right. That's right.
Now, you bring us, and I think other reviewers have said the same thing, the fact that you not only take us through that experience, we get immersed in it. And so all of a sudden, we are living in the 1940s, and we have to realize that, gosh, you know, we take what we have now for granted. But back then, people were really struggling to survive.
Some of them were. Some of them weren't, but some, yes, definitely some of them were. And I love the fact that you say you get immersed in it. That's my goal, is to immerse the reader in the scene and in the head of the character. It's written in two voices, Charlotte's and Kate's, and they see the world very differently. And what I would really like my reader to see and feel, I'd like them to feel and see and smell and just, you know, be there in the scene with the characters.
And it's interesting how when we read books, our imagination just goes away from us. And, you know, everybody has a different perspective. Perhaps we see that little shack or cabin where Kate goes to get her escape as a certain way, or, you know, some other people see it a different way and they may picture this or that. And I'm not sure if this book is in audio or not. Is it, Lucy?
It's in print, it's in ebook, it's in audio, and it's going to be coming out in large print one day soon.
Okay, because I'm wondering, okay, in audio, that's one of the things that this generation is experiencing as well. During the 1940s, they had radio dramas, old-time radio dramas,
yep.
And now the audiobooks are almost as intriguing as those radio dramas because they're not just reading, they're dramatizing. And so people, I think, look forward to that because they go, oh, wow, I didn't expect Ben to sound like that, or I thought Thomas would have this kind of voice, or
right.
And the same thing with a movie. When they see a movie, they go, "Ah, wait for the movie." And I'm glad that, you know, some people still read, and the fact that you said all those mediums out there, and the fact that there are all those sources, people tend to reach out more and read more, I think, through the different aspects that they have, because, as you mentioned earlier, you've written short stories and poetry, and you have different outlets, but now you have even more as a writer. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. It's just thrilling for me that this is where it is. I'm really excited. It just came out last week, so it feels really good.
We are visiting with Lucy Sana, and Lucy is the author of the novel The Cherry Harvest. And Lucy, what about as far as audience goes? I mean, I read the book. I enjoyed it. It's great. And I hate it when they put labels on stuff. But, you know, some people say, well, this is a chick flick or a young romance novel, or this is not for men, or this is for guys, or this is for girls. And I think this is a book for everyone.
For saying that, I really appreciate that. It is, it's basically being, well, the publishing company is looking at it in different ways. One, it's obviously an historical novel. So historical novels are good for, you know, just about anybody.
Yes.
And there is the young girl's story in it, 17-year-old. So it's being basically cross-marketed for young adult as well. And the editor at William Morrow, who bought the book, basically represents book club books. So it is a book club book. As a matter of fact, the Wisconsin State Journal is making it the book club book of the summer. And the Midwest Independent Booksellers, it's 9 states up this way, are making it the book club book of the summer. So I guess book clubs are going to like it.
No, that's great. And you know, in the 1970s, I teach a radio and television programming class. In the 1970s, the drama, The Waltons, was very successful. And critics said, because there was a character for everybody in the family. And that's
right.
The same with your book. If you're a guy, you know, you can relate with Ben. If you're some other kind of guy, you can relate with Clay. And there's a little bit for everybody there. And so before we leave now, Lucy, if there is a web page, Facebook page, or somewhere else that you can direct our listeners to find out more about yourself and The Cherry Harvest?
Yes, for sure. My website is just lucysana.com. That's lucysanna.com. And that will tell you more about the book, about me. I've got a blog there. It'll tell you where I'm going to be. So, anyway, I'm trying to keep it up to date, even though I'm having sort of an excited life here. so that's where they can find out more, lucysana.com.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being with us. We've been visiting with Lucy Sana. Her historical novel is The Cherry Harvest. And as Lucy mentioned, you can go to lucysana.com, and that's Sana, S-A-N-N-A.